I'm Big Sam, and I'm grateful we covered that.
Hey, Sam.
I'd like to thank my high pal, first and foremost, for allowing me to be here going on 17 years in recovery, you know. And I'd like to just give a big thanks to the Potomac area to extending this invitation to an addict to come here to share some of my experience and strength and hope. It's been a long time. This is my first time I ever spoke down here in Ocean City. You know, they told me that when I'm ready, God is going to reveal that to me, you know, and I believe that, you know. I'd like to thank my wife, who has been very supportive of me before I even came into Narcotics Anonymous. You know, she's been by me all the way, you know, through the trials and tribulations, through the ups and downs. She gave me a lot of strength and a lot of motivation. I want to thank her for being right by my side. I want to thank my little dog, Chloe. She couldn't make it. Yeah. She's back in the hotel. You know, I want to thank all my sponsees for showing up. I want to thank all my friends for being here today to support us. And foremost, I want to thank this brother that's with me today, Gerard, who saw me when I first came in and never turned his back. He always told me, don't be a fake and a fraud. You know, stay, keep coming back. You know, I'm not the kind of addict that you can just walk in the park with and stroll down the aisle. You know what I mean? You know, I'm the type of addict that looks sometimes can be conceiving, you know. I'm a type of addict, man, that I used to use for a long period of time, and when I use, penitentiary was a big part of my story, you know. But way before I started using, my behavior was off the change. When I was coming up in a place called Lynchburg, Virginia. You know, I was born in D.C., but raised in Virginia because my mother couldn't take care of two of her siblings, myself and my brother. So she had to separate one of us, and I stayed in Lynchburg, you know, till my mother passed back in 1960. And I moved back to D.C. You know, I stayed at a place called 14 and Q Street Northwest. Yeah. So when I got there, you know, I met people like Calvin, Larry. You know what I mean? I met them kind of guys that was doing some things different. You know, we started out doing some things good, playing basketball, went to school. You know, but all of a sudden we like to drink some Wild House Rose, hang out in this guy's house on 14 and that street and get high, you know. Then I had to move from 14 and Q to 15 and U Street. You know, up the street was a place called the Dunbar Hotel. Yeah. It was a Republican, theater, Booker T, and a Lincoln, and 14 and U. Pool rooms, you know, and I was fascinated. You know, I got right in the mix when my father told me, son, don't go up to 14 and you. You know, and everything he told me not to do, I did the opposite. You know, I was fascinated, man, when I saw women coming out on the host road, we call it, the hustlers with the Cadillacs, you know what I mean, in the pool rooms. I want to be just like them guys. Started going to the go-go's and, you know, snorting some of that heroin. Felt myself feeling good about myself. But I didn't know myself. But little did I know, see, in the beginning it was fun. But at the end, I remember trying to sell a leather coat on 14 and Carpenter Street, 90 degrees. See, at the end, when I couldn't get out in the morning and do what I needed to do and my bowels was breaking. You know what I mean? I had to do what I had to do by any means necessary. You know, the penitentiary played a big part of my life. A big part. Because when I use, I commit crimes and I went to jail. Simple as that. You know what I mean? From a guy that thought he was a cool hustler, I ended up being a rustler. Coming out to CBS, still in deodorant. I got paroled and back in 1991. I haven't been locked up since then. I came home and I thought I could do the same thing all over again. But November the 10th, 1993, I hit my bottom. I was sent to the hospital, Howard University Hospital. My daughter found me, slumped over the bathtub. She called an ambulance. And I went to the hospital. I stayed in Howard University for 4 months. The doctor diagnosed me as having pancreatitis, bleeding ulcer, and cancer. I stayed there for 4 months, you know what I mean? And people prayed for me, came to see me. And this lady, Caucasian, she helped me get into this place called the Christ House. And that's where this process began for me, called recovery. When I got there, I saw a friend of mine. And he told me that, you don't have to do this again, Sam. You know, he told me that only thing you need to do, man, is try to learn how to live life on life terms. You know, you already know, you know how to go to jail, you know how to use, you know. And I'm still talking about Swan Street. You know, and when I first got there in Christ House, a group of friends of mine took me to the convention. And a good friend of mine that's not here today, named Adela, I want to really want to honor her and this workshop that I'm speaking at, I want to contribute that workshop for here, for her. Because she was living, she would be right here in the front row with a smile on her face. You know what I mean? And, you know, we truly going to miss her dearly. But I remember being here with them. You know, and being in the mix of recovery, you know, I had about a year, because that's why I went to the World's Convention first. And the World's Convention, I had 9 months. Let me back it up. I had about a year then, and I was here at Ocean City, you know, and I saw a good friend of mine who just walked in the door. And he was sharing, he was leading a workshop. And at that time, you know, I made a decision, a conscious decision to stay here and not call it anonymous, you know, because I felt something. I felt the spirit of the program. I felt the spirit of the fellowship. You know, I felt people, when I came in, I was welcome, I was hugged, I was given books, telephone numbers, you know what I mean? And people kept telling me to keep coming back, Sam. That you never got to do this again. You know, see, I'm the type of addict that I had to really believe what I was seeing. You know, I had to see people that was in the trenches with me. You know what I mean? See, because see, when I came around the first time, when I came around, you know, when you talk about where you was at, and I kind of raised up and looked at what type of shoes you was wearing, what type of outfit you was wearing, I would identify out. Because see, that's the type of addict I was, you know. I didn't really believe what y'all was saying. But when I took that vicious whipping the last time that brought me back into the realms of Narcotics Anonymous, I truly surrendered. And today, I surrender every day. I surrender every day to my disease. You know, this year's theme is more living than surviving. And our topic is being good to myself and others. And when I got that topic, you know, I thought about it. I talked it over with a couple of friends of mine, you know. They said, Big Sam, that's you. Because I'm always trying to be good to myself. But I didn't know how. You know what I mean? I made a lot of bad decisions in my life coming up. You know, I wasn't the type of dude that, you know what I mean, that you could say, man, brush it off, man. You know, you can do better than that. I was a hard-head kind of guy, man. You know, I didn't believe what you were saying. I always had the answers, you know. And my best thinking, man, kept me in the box for a long period of time. I couldn't get out. I just told you earlier that I was stuck on 14th Street. In the glamour. You know, all those slick places. You know, I love to be around people like that. Because I was always trying to fit in to find out where Big Sam belonged. You know? But until I came into Knockouts and Nowlands, you know, and I heard a guy tell me that the war is over, and he truly lost. You know, I understood what he was saying. You know, I lost this battle. You know, today I'm living, I'm not surviving. I'm being good to myself. And when I be good to myself, you got a chance. You got a good chance to get a hug from me. You got a good chance, you understand, to take you to a meeting. Because that's what we do. We get outside the box, you know what I mean, and we go places. You know, my sponsor always tell me, he better watch out because he's a politician. Because I love the atmosphere of recovery. I love it. You know what I mean? I love to extend myself to people. With no strings attached. Well, let me back it up. Sometimes it used to be some strings attached. Because I'm an addict, you know. Sometimes I get them addict thoughts in my mind, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes I get the, I guess like that, you know. What you, you know, what if I do for you, what you gonna do for me? Yeah. You know, but I don't have to act like that today because I can be me. I can be Big Sam. You know, and one of the blessings that came since I've been in this recovery is that my son came into the program in Knockouts and Nowlands. You know, we made amends. And I love him dearly. You know, a lot of blessings have came. You know what I mean? My house was in foreclosure. I lost my jobs, a couple jobs. I got a job working for $7.55, working at the Boston Sports Club in housekeeping. You know, picking up towels and cleaning up the bathroom. You know what I mean? See, you know, sometimes you're going to have to, you know, lose some things in it. You know, because see, God have a tendency to kind of like knock you off of that what? That pedestal. See, he can reveal some things that what you're doing in the dark, he can reveal it and bring you out of the darkness and put you into the light. See, I didn't like it, but I know I had to do what I had to do to survive. But we made it through the help of God and my wife. We made it. And right after that, man, I was putting in applications. One job called me. I got that job. Then another job called me the very next month. So I got two. Yeah, two. Then the mortgage went down a year later. And I'm talking about some blessings. I'm talking about some assets in this program that I had. Last year, my wife and I went on a cruise. Man, I didn't think that I was going to get a passport. Because I have always had doubts about me, about my capability. I always had doubts why I couldn't succeed in life. Ride around without a license for a long time. Yeah, let me tell it. Driving without a license. People used to tell me, man, let's go in there and they take the test. Why? Is something going on? You scared? Fear. Always slipped in. But my son got his and You know, the next thing was that, shit, if you can get in, I know I can get mine. So I wasn't going to let him outdo me. I went down there, man, and passed the second time. You know, it's funny, too, man, because see, when you step out of the box and try to do God's will, God going to make a way for you. No sooner I got my license, right, I got a car. The next week after I got a car, I was driving my wife's truck. A guy ran the light and hit me. Now, if I didn't have a license, I wouldn't probably be standing here today. You understand what I'm saying? See, God can do for me what I couldn't do for myself. You know? So what I'm talking about, man, is getting out the box, doing something different for Big Sam, you know, begin to know how to love Sam. See, my sponsor and I, we always talk about the man in the mirror, you know, both of them. I got two beautiful sponsors. I love them dearly, you know. Both of them give me the help that I need. Even my sponsees, you just don't know. You know, y'all a piece of work, but you just don't know. You know? Getting out the box and being able to be good to myself. This year, January the 26th, let me show you the hope. Let me share the hope. January the 26th of this year, my parole officer called me on my cell phone. I was at work. She said, Mr. So-and-so, so-and-so, can you come down and see me today? You know, Gerard, the first thought I was thinking, damn, she want to see me? What's going on? Did I do something wrong? You know, because those thoughts always come to my mind. You know, I've been on paper. I was on paper for life. So I told her I'd be down in about 15 minutes. Walk down the street, call my wife, let her know. They called me. You know. I don't know what the outcome might bring. But I'm letting you know, my car's parked in the garage. You got a set of keys. If I don't come back, tell them people in the NA, you know what I mean? I'm a faithful member. Send me a money order when you pass the basket. So I, you know, decided to go down there and see my PO. And I walked in the office, and the first thing she did was, she handed me a piece of paper. And I read it. And it says, Department of Justice, Bureau and Prison. Samuel P., hereby, you are hereby discharged early parole. You know, I had to break down with some tears, you know what I mean? Because this is one blessing that I know, one dream that I thought would never come true. You know? Because I was going to see him because, what, that was a part of my condition of my parole. If I want to stay out here, you know? If I didn't want to eat no more oodles and noodles in the penitentiary, I better do what I had to do. You know? If I didn't want to drink no more, shoot! You know? If I didn't want to wait for a visit to come to see me, then I need to do what I had to do. And that's what I was doing, you know? And it got to a point where I was doing it for me, not for her. You know, and I'm sharing with you the blessings that we get out of this program. I'm sharing that when I was working, when I was not making a lot of money, some friends of mine, and Gerard and the rest of them, told me to go back to school. Get your RAC. You know, don't sit up here complaining about you ain't, you know, you can't get no money. Do something about it. You know, I'm 63 years old, you know what I mean? So, before then, I went on back. Sat in the classroom, you know, did what I had to do. You know, graduated from the class. It put me in another bracket. You know? That's when the hope started coming in. And I saw the evidence. You know? And what I'm talking about, the little boys growing up. You know? With the help of you people in this program, the God of my understanding, and through reading of the literature and trying to understand this fellowship, you know, I owe it to the fellowship of Knockouts and Owls and the God of my understanding. See, I wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for you all. Just imagine if these doors was closed when I first came in. Just imagine if you was mugging like I was when I first came in. What had happened? I'd have turned around and walked on back because I thought I was walking in the Department of Corrections, the Lord Reformatory. Because see, that's what we used to do down there, mug. You know what I mean, Gerard? You know, we ain't doing no hugging. You know, if I'm hugging somebody, there's something going on. You know, I better ask for a piece so I can put it by my bed underneath my pillow. You know, because they might say, well, what's going on with, you know, they ain't call me Big Sam, they call me Tank then. What's going on with Tank over there? But today I can do that freely. I can hug a brother, kiss him on his cheek, and tell him that I love him. Because see, what I found out about Big Sam is that I no longer have to try to pretend who I am. Who I am is who you see is what I am. I'm a 63-year-old guy still in recovery and enjoying it. Can you imagine me going back out at this age? This is, you know, it would be a hell of a sight, wouldn't it? Can you imagine me, you know, being butt naked out there on the strip? That's been a hell of a sight, ain't it, man? Trying to do that thing all over again. But I love this recovery, you know what I mean? And it's an honor to be here. Like I said, I want to thank the Potomac region. And I want to thank Gerard to just allow me to be here with him. You know, because I have watched this brother when I first came in, you know. He does the same thing every day. He shows up every day. And that's what he told me. He said, Sam, just show up. Because somebody else is going to see you, man, that was in the trenches with you. You know what I mean? Just show up. I ain't got to be in the front row raising my hand all the time to speak. Just show up. Let people know that that I'm living totally different today. I'm being good to myself. See, because see, when I be good to myself, man, I can be good to others. So again, I just want to thank this region. I want to thank you all for showing up. I want to thank my high power for allowing me to be here. With that, I keep coming back. My name is Big Sam.
Sam P. Thanks a lot. Big Sam P. Now we have for our second speaker, and again, glad you're all here, Gerard from D.C.
Good morning to everyone. My name is Gerard. I'm a very, very grateful and proud recovering addict. And I know it's by God's grace I'm able to stand here clean. Real good to be here. It's so remarkable, man, that this program has allowed me to be here in July the 15th, up as of July the 15th, when I get here and I want it like a hog won't slop. I'll have 28 years in this program. Yeah. And basically, you know, I want to say this, that I'd be remiss if I didn't mention these people. My wife, Pinky, my daughter, Yolanda, and ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. I got the best sponsor in the world. His name is Rico. Rico Suave, my main man. And we've been together all those 28 years. Matter of fact, we go back 45 years. So don't let nobody tell you that your best friend can't be your sponsor.
Right.
Allow yourself to be true to ourselves, and you can have anybody as a sponsor. Because one more time, you won't be a fake, phony, and a fraud. See, because if you become a fake, phony, and a fraud in this program, you'll use again. Because one time, you don't like yourself. When you begin to like yourself, you don't need another drug, never in life. When you start working those steps, and step work is for personal development, you know what you need to work on. When I got here, I seen my sponsor, and I said, man, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Because we was in the trenches together. We used together. We overdosed together. We did a lot of things together. We whooped niggas together. And when I seen him, he had 5 years. And I said to myself, it's funny how you feel. Shows on your face. Because he ain't had to explain to me what he was doing. I knew what he was doing. Because I seen him when he had run over shoes on, had matted to his head, smelling like zoo dirt. I knew something was happening. And I've been in this hip pocket ever since. One of the things he told me, I'm going to talk about my sponsor, because one of the things he told me, he said, boy, you need to get a job. So I said, won't you help me get a job? And he did that. He got me a job fresh out of treatment, and they was trying to have a little flack about him helping me because I'm his main man. But he helped me. But what I wanted to do, I wanted to be honorable. Whatever help he had, I want to make sure that I do it the proper way, do it the correct way to protect him. And that's what I did. He got me a job working in housekeeping and NIH. I worked from the bottom to the top of that program, and I stayed there for 23 years. I was able to retire from that government job. Now, mind you, I got a record, man. I'm a thug. I've been a thug since I was about 3 years old. The first incident I told this lady, this neighbor, because I came up in the South and I came up poor. And I was hungry one day, and I went to this neighbor's house, and I told her that my mother said send her 15 cents. I took that 15 cents and went to the candy store because my stomach was growling. That was my first petty move. And I went on a vengeance from the time of 3 till I was 33. And what happened, I was locked up 26 times from everything from petty larceny to armed robbery. I had been in every jail in the metropolitan area. I've been shot point blank range. I had been through the fields of Vietnam. I survived with heroin in Vietnam. Had it not been for heroin in Vietnam, I would have never survived. I was high every day because I was a cat. And I mean that, I was a cat. When you see bullets flying and people hollering for their mama and body parts and smelling of death and all that, I was scared. And I ain't gonna tell nobody that I wasn't scared. You know what I'm saying? But I survived Vietnam. And when I got back home, I brought a habit back with me because I was one of the fortunate ones. I shot heroin in Vietnam. A lot of people can't say that. First of all, I started smoking it because it was so of a high grade. Then I started snorting it. Then my tolerance got big, so I had to start using, I had to intravenously use heroin in Vietnam. Basically, man, when I got home, I had to get on methadone. I got on methadone, and I stayed on methadone for a good while. Along with using dope. Methadone was just a safety valve for me because I didn't want to be ill. But I didn't realize that being ill off methadone was way worse than being ill off heroin. So that showed how dumb I was. Yeah. But I'd like to tell you my name. My name is Crutball Shorty. I'm telling you, and everybody laugh at Crutball Shorty, but I'm telling you, keep on laughing because that's my humility. That is my humility, and you have to keep humility in this process that keeps you humble. See, when you don't get humble in this program, you get cute and you ride off in the sunset thinking that you don't done something. So you got to have constant reminders of who you really are. See, when I'm on it, I'm cruddy than a motherfucker. I'm sorry to say this too, because I speak two languages, profanity and English. I don't like to speak profanity, but when deemed necessary, I will speak it. If you understand what I'm saying, because I'm trying to get a point across that shows my intensity of what I feel, because it comes out in my emotion when I curse. Because my life was a curse when I used. But what I like to say is about helping yourself. See, when I help myself, I become a person who I don't need validation from anybody or anything to make me feel the human that I am. See, then when you get to that point in recovery, man, you know the understanding of recovery, meaning that you never get it. Once you think you got it, you just lost it. Once you think you're better than the next addict that's coming through the door, one more time, you just bumped your head. So you got to be here to represent. So you got a moral obligation to Narcotics Anonymous. If it helped your ass, then what you need to do is do the same thing that somebody done for you for the next person that comes through the doors. See, my thing is that I was a dedicated dope and I was willing to give my life for a feeling. Why can't I give my life for something that has blessed me, has blessed my family, has blessed all my friends, has blessed everything around me? Why wouldn't I take that serious than I took my addiction? See, it's the switch up. See, it's the bait and move, switch, bait and move. You know what I'm saying? You switch from what you used to do with the same intensity and the same character and personality that you develop while you chase drugs and chase this program, and you never fall short. I ain't never done bad in this program. I ain't never lost nothing because my sponsor taught me how to do things the right way. One of the right ways of doing recovery is to go to meetings every day, be in service, try to help somebody with no strings attached, and certainly find your God or your understanding, who represents good all the directions, who represent you being a human being again with human qualities, because the first notion of an addict is being petty. And I don't give a damn how much time you got, you still have the capabilities of being the most petty, insecure, no good dope fiend that you really are. And if you don't got humility in your life, you'll forget that. And it's been many times I don't seen people come back in here after 10 years of not going to meetings, raise their damn hand and tell me they ain't been to a meeting in 10 years. I say, well, you need to shut the fuck up. For real. That's helping somebody. That's helping somebody. Because somebody, what you say in this program and in these rooms, people adapt to. Because they don't know. Newcomers don't know what's going on. Yeah, and when you tell somebody you ain't been to meetings in 10 goddamn years and shit, what do that think you resonate with them? That if I get me a year or something, maybe I can stop and then come back. No, you can't do that. You got to keep your monkey ass up in here. For real. If this program is good to you, then you come in here and you show it off. They used to tell us in therapeutics, if you got it, flaunt it. If you're driving a nice car, drive it, because you got to pay for it. And if you don't pay for it, you won't be driving it. Simple as that. See, it's kind of like redundant in this program. You can talk profound and quote the book and talk about how much step work you're doing. You know what I'm saying? But what are you giving back? Do you go into the institution where you came from? Do you go back to the treatment facility and celebrate? Do you celebrate, period? Some people think they got time when they ain't, I ain't celebrating this year. You know, I dare not. I dare not. If good Lord give me another 365 days, you think I believe I'll be dancing and singing and hollering and celebrating? But I appreciate what I got. And you know what? Can't nobody take it from me. Ain't nobody give it to me. You can't take it away. And when you be strong with your convictions that this program worked for you, everybody say they love Narcotics Anonymous, but what have you done for Narcotics Anonymous lately? Yeah. Run your mouth, stand out front of the meeting the all goddamn day. Don't never go to the meeting. Just stand out front wiping your car down. You can wipe your car down and go to the meeting and come back and wipe that sandwich again, but go to the meeting. Real. That's how you help people. because the nonsense will continue, because people are at different stages of recovery. So you got to have some predecessors in there. You got to have some old timers in there. You got to have somebody in there with 5 days who tell a 4-day you a dingbat, sit down and shut up. Y'all don't hear me, because a lot of people come down here once a year, don't chair no meetings, ain't celebrated in 5-6 years. You know what I'm saying? But yet they'll greet you with love. You know what I'm saying? But you know what's going on with them. You see them. They ain't about nobody else. They still petty. They still selfish. They ain't trying to help nobody. See, the bottom line why I'm saying that, how you need to help people, because I got 2 brothers that I lost to the disease. I couldn't help them because they don't listen to me, because me and my brother used to rob and shoot people and all that old craziness, man. He wouldn't listen to me, but he would listen to somebody like Rico. And let me tell you this story. The last time I seen my brother, I had 14 years clean. And I sat down and I told him, I said, man, you need to come on and get with me, because me and him was like twins. We ran together. We did everything together. We used dope together. We harmed people together. And he said, man, okay, I'm going to start going to some of those meetings, man. My brother died 2 weeks later from smoking crack. He didn't make it. He wanted to come, but he didn't make it. And he had done 20-some years in jail, been shot 17, 18 times, you know what I'm saying, and lived through that, you know what I'm saying? But he just refused, man. So somebody got to be here to be encouraging to those people who are still caught up in the image, because you done 20 years in the penitentiary. You're a goddamn fool for doing 20 years in the penitentiary. And then come out here and think somebody owe you a ribbon or something. You know what I'm saying? You can't get it back. That 20 years is gone. Get busy with your life, man. You know what I'm saying? Get busy with your life. Drop that image, because you's a punk-ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? Real men don't have to address all those images, and real men be who they are. Responsible, productive people in society who has the background of being in the penitentiary. Who has the background, who know how to fight, stab, and shoot. But you don't need to employ that no more. You put that in the background, or you put it on the shelf. Because you might need it again if you go back to jail. You better pull your bag out. But if you don't never go back to jail, you don't never need that. So staying in the street, how you stay in the street, you get your goddamn job. You pay your rent. You know what I'm saying? You take care of your babies, because child support ain't playing. They ain't playing. I hear everybody come up and tell me, man, I ain't taking care of my kids, man. I got 40 years in the rear, child support, trying to duck them. Can't get a license. Take your license, lock you up. So basically, real men in this program, being productive, is the thing that recovery teaches you to do. Yeah, you can't come in here and in 10 years you ain't got no job, you still asking nigga for $2, living in SRO. That ain't recovery. You might stay clean. Yeah, you stay clean. But why would you want to stay clean and still have the deprivation of what recovery can afford you? Recovery can afford you, man. We got millionaires up in here. We got people who were like me, a 000 when I got here. I ain't doing bad. Believe me, I ain't doing bad. I have never done bad in this process, because I'm true to the game. How I be true to the game is I show up on a regular basis. I'm still in service. And I tell people the truth. I got people in my sponsees that come tell me that they got a warrant. I said, nigga, you need to turn yourself in. Don't be coming telling me. I ain't working over the company. When I'm thinking, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to spend all my time working with you, then the police going to lock your ass up. I'm not spinning my wheels. I ain't blowing smoke. I'm telling you the truth. If you got a charge, you need to go turn your ass in. Part of being responsible, taking your own medicine. That what makes you strong in this program. When you take your own medicine, you measure up to the man that you're supposed to be. If I hit Mike Tyson on the chin and he whooped my ass, don't cry for me. I'm taking my medicine. I shouldn't have hit him. For real. People don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? So you think you can steal slime and get away and hook and crook and try to be what you call with that image, you know, trying to project, you know, that you such and such. No, be yourself, man. How you stay here is you be yourself. You call a spade, and you don't blow smoke up nobody's ass and try to please them. You know what I'm saying? You be straightforward. And you try to walk, man, the way you talk. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to be all profound and want to be Big Willie up in here. You know what I'm saying? Be yourself, man. Enjoy this thing called recovery. That's how you help people, man. You help yourself first. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell you I'm going to lend you $3, but I only got two. So what I need to do is to tell you I ain't got but two. Instead of telling you, here, take this money and put it in somebody's hand like I used to do the dope man. Here, take this money, man. Look, money ain't nowhere near correct. You know what I'm saying? Man, I gave you all that money. What are you talking about, Sam? You know I gave you all that money, man. Look in your pocket, man. You must have dropped it. But I'm going to have to bring this to a close, man. But, you know, man, this program is so wonderful. And once you think you got it, you just lost it, man. You can never see, this disease is incurable. You might think you got it, you on top of things. You might have a business and nice house and nice cars and all that. But the addict inside of you ain't never going nowhere. You can dress him up. You can sedate him. You know what I'm saying? But he ain't going to never go up. Matter of fact, last night I woke up with a dope dream. After 28 years, I ain't used nothing. That wasn't because I told a lie, y'all. Hey, that might be a scam. Y'all women, check your pocketbooks. That's one of Rico's moves. Cut the lights out and steal a hoe. And let me tell you about Rico. Me and Rico used to go to parties and throw people's coats out the window and shit. We was some thug people, man. We ain't care nothing about nobody, man. We will whoop you and take your coat, take your shoes off your feet. Man, I'm telling you, man, we come a mighty long way. And it's only because of this program. Man, I'm a lover of the program. I got NA tattooed on my arm. I'm here for life, y'all. And I say, till death do me part. I don't know about y'all, but till death do me part. You know what I'm saying? I love this program so much, man, because I can look back and I can make a reflection of how I shouldn't be here. It's only through God's blessings that I'm here. And I'm not gonna abuse or misuse this blessing that I received, that I got July the 15th, 1982. And it ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. I don't give a damn who thinks about me in a certain way, who said things about me, naysayers, haters, don't make no difference in me. Man, I'm moving forward, man, you know? I'm retired now. I'm enjoying life, man. I'm on the golf course, man. I'm trying to hit my ball. I'm trying to play. I'm trying to experience some of the things that I almost gave up. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to live the way that I'm supposed to live. You know, I cut my grass, man. I'm raising my grandson, which I love dearly, because his father's not around. So who have to step up to the plate? The grown-ass man. See, that's all I ever wanted to be in my life, was a grown-ass man, man. I ain't talking about no fake long pointed shoe Cadillac driving, slamming doors, pimping, hustling, and all that. I ain't talking about that kind of no good-ass dope fiend. I'm talking about a responsible guy who gets up every morning and walks his grandson to the bus stop and watch out for all the other kids. Because you got some crooks out here, man. You got some people that don't care nothing about, and they take advantage of kids. And if I ever catch one taking advantage of a kid that I'm around, I'm going to bust him in his motherfucking mouth. I'm serious. Because I'm saying this because it's important. Because kids that get abused when they're young become dope fiends. It's been proven time and time again. People who take advantage of kids. Immature little people, wind up being dope fiends because at the hands of some old ruthless-ass adult who don't have no respect for nobody, especially kids, man. Leave them goddamn kids alone. Raise them kids properly. You know, not only talk about, I mean, in your own family and your kids, man, it ain't about what you say to kids, man. It's how you live, man. Kids are very observant, man. Kids see you. Kids want to be loved, man. You know what I'm saying? Your kids want to be go around with you, man. They want to hang out with you. You know what I'm saying? They want to do things with you. They want to sit down and you read to them and things of that nature. That's how you nurture kids, man. You don't kick them in the ass and smack them around. See, those are the things that recovery teaches us to do. You know, be responsible, man. Be grown-ass women and grown-ass men in here, man. A lot of people don't say that because everybody want to talk to N.A. jogging, man. Everybody want to try to migrate back in society, but social acceptability don't equal recovery. You who you are and what you are is damaged goods, man, who's coming and try to get it right for once. This is the last house on the block. You can't get it here, you can't get it nowhere. It ain't New York. You know, recovery is very important, and recovery is a very serious venture, man. Yes, sir. You know, I'm experiencing something that I never thought, and it always continuously get better and better and better and better. I'm getting older, but like they say, fine wine. I ain't talking about drinking no wine now. I'm talking about the theory of wine. Look. I'm talking about the theory of wine because I don't want to drink nothing. But you got to be careful, and this is why it's important that you share with people about recovery, because society allows you to drink. I got friends who've been smoking weed for 50 years. I go to the golf course and, man, yeah, I smoke a little weed. I smoke a little weed because it's socially accepted. If you don't ever get busted for it, you can do it. I know people been doing it for 50 years. Ain't never lost a house. Ain't never lost nothing. Still respected. You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is once you get to recovery, you have those things is not optional. You got to understand you can't do nothing. That's how you help people. You come to meetings and you show people that I ain't going to do nothing. I don't want no mood changes in me. I want God and the N.A. to change my mood. And N.A. changes your mood because every time I come to a meeting, I feel welcome, I feel love, and I'm amongst my people. And none of y'all can judge me. Y'all don't have the right. Y'all exempt from judging and criticizing people in recovery. They like they used to tell you, need to mind your goddamn business. Do what you need to do. And if it's right, and I see it, and I think that it's right, then maybe I'll do it. But all that other personal shit that you want to do, I ain't got to do it. I can make my own choices. And one of my choices is to stay embedded in this simple process that allows me to receive and enjoy life as a decent human being, man. Another thing about showing people about helping yourself than helping others, man, got to go in them hospitals, man, and get them checkups, man. You know what I'm saying? And men got to get the prostate and the colonoscopy and all that and check on the cancer. Sam just said it. So you got to use an ounce of prevention in here. You see what I'm saying? When you get clean and you're concentrating more on your health to stay here, especially when you get my age past 60, you begin to understand, man, that I've been truly blessed. And I want to continue getting those blessings, so I have to do as the Lord said, man. I have to try to eat right, try to exercise, try to do little things that I need to do, keep my doctor's appointment. If I'm on medication, need to take my medication. Part of recovery, y'all. Part of recovery. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it for you? You think I'm going to call you and say, you got a doctor's appointment this morning? I tell my sponsors that you got to be responsible for your recovery as well as your life, man. But you can do it amongst people who got your back. And that's why our experience, strength, and hope is so important. You want to know about a colonoscopy? I had one. I could tell you about that. You want to know about prostate? I get mine checked. I could tell you about that. I can tell you about a lot of things. That's why we have to stay close so people can know and go touch you and ask you. You see what I'm saying? It ain't necessarily have to be on the phone all the time. I tell my sponsor, he said, you ain't got to call me on the phone all the time. See me in a meeting. When you get live and up close. That's why meetings are so important, man. And you encourage me. My sponsor got 33 years. My sponsor, if he hadn't had 33 years, I wouldn't think I could get 33. Not unless I see somebody else that got 33. So that's the hope. And I want to know how to get there. I go to him and ask him because he's been there. And I'm on his heel. I'm trying. I got 28. I'm trying to get all I can get, y'all. Because I love living like I'm living, man. And I'm not mad at what I went through to get here. See, I'm proud. I say I'm a proud recovering addict because I enjoy that lifestyle to a degree. It wasn't all painful.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't all about the pistols and all that. You know, but the bottom line is that I can never change that. I have to accept that. That's a part of me. But what I can do with that is I can use that as a measuring stick as to what not to do. So that's why you got to remember your story. And see, you can only remember your story when you come to meetings and people are sharing their story that you can identify with. That's what keeps you with that humility. You need humility in here. You don't need to have everything moving all swell and no kinks and not any issues or situations and stuff, man. Don't bargain for that. Because a lot of that shit will build up and next thing you know, you're out of here. Learn how to deal with things and correct some things. That's what the program of recovery is about, correcting some things. So when you get out of job, go find another goddamn job. Huh. Don't sit around and mope talking about I'm gonna get on unemployment. No, get you another goddamn job immediately. Because unemployment will spoil you, then that shit run out, and then you're in a worse situation than you was at the beginning. Let me tell you this, and it's not bragging. I worked day and night for 25 years and went to a meeting every day. I worked in the government from 12 to 8, and I ran substance abuse programs and did substance abuse. And I told my boss at 12 noon, I'm out of here at a meeting. Because being an addiction counselor, I'm a level 2. My sponsor is also. You know what I'm saying? That don't help me. I'm helping somebody else. Now, I got to take care of the dummy. So the dummy got to get his ass to a meeting. I got all the information. You know what I'm saying? I could tell you how to stay clean and all that kind of shit, but if I don't take care of the dummy first, all that shit is for naught. So I went to a meeting every day. So don't be talking about, goddamn, I got a job and I can't get to a meeting. Get your ass to a meeting. You got some dope. You got some crack, didn't you? Crack call your name every day and you answer. Why you can't go to a meeting? Why you can't get to a meeting and help a newcomer? Why you can't sponsor nobody? I know people got 15 years ain't sponsor nobody. I got 1,000 sponsees. Because all I need to do is to do what I do. That's going to meetings, trying to help somebody with no strings attached. Every time I go to a meeting, I help somebody. Every time I see somebody, I hug them, I help somebody. I can't do that when I'm at home in my nice house, riding around my nice car. I see one of you dope fiends, I duck. I ain't got time for that. Hear that N.A. shit. You got people out there like that. I got people that I see that I've been around for a long time. They see me in the mall or they bump into me somewhere. They ask me, you still going to meetings? So if anybody ever go back out and see me, don't ask me, am I still going to some goddamn meetings? Because I might tear your head off because don't even expect that of me, not going to meetings. I'm going to meetings. And I'm going to sit on the front row. And I'm going to encourage the newcomer to do what he got to do in order to stay here. I ain't going to tell no lies. And don't lie to no newcomer. Don't lie to no newcomer. People in here lying to newcomers. You got to get yours like I got mine. It's hard, goddammit. It was harder out there than it is in here. So don't come in here and think somebody owe you something because you don't drink and drug no goddamn more. That's what they told me in treatment. Said, nobody owe you shit. Shit, you owe this to yourself. You got to come in here and get busy, mama. Ain't nobody going to give you no more welfare bags and give you 3 hots and a cot no more. Sure. Them days are over. Your ass 40 years old. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're an infant or something that somebody need to do for you. No, you need to learn how to do for yourself. As a direct result of this program, you're able to do that through your strength, your experience, your strength, and your hope. And if you don't want nothing, you ain't going to get nothing. And it ain't your sponsor's fault because you don't do no step work. You got to do your own goddamn step work. Who you doing step work for? You ain't doing it for your sponsor. You don't impress me by doing step work and telling me what you doing step work because I see your behavior is different. You know what I'm saying? Do your own step work. And first step is about honesty. You can't get honest. You ain't going to stay in here because you'll be a fake, phony, and a fraud. And a petty ass dope fiend we'll use again. Petty. Petty motherfucker. And we laugh up in here. We have fun up in here. I have big fun, man. I have big fun in this process, man, because you know what? This is a gift from God, man. And if you're atheist, he still gave you a gift. But you know what? Let me tell you this now. I've been around a long time, and I don't need man to tell me who God is. I see God every morning I wake up. I see his work. And I had to learn that if God tells you in the morning, if it snows tonight, that means you got to put some brogans on and some long underwear. That's God telling you something. That's God sending you a message. If it's 85 degrees, maybe you can put some shorts on and some sandals. That's God telling you how to conduct yourself. Because you certainly ain't going to walk out in 80-degree weather with a big old overcoat, fur coat on, and some Timberlands. Your ass going to burn up. See, you got to respect. And see, this is a very simple program. Now, you can have T.D. Jakes or Stefano Dollar or whatever who your preacher is. Reverend Frankie, where Frank at? Frank ain't in here. But don't forget, man, that Mother Nature, God speaks to Mother Nature. And that's how I respect God. I respect it to the degree where I understand, man, that he saved a wrench like me. I should have been hung by my neck until dead for the wrong that I caused. But I was given the blessing in this fellowship. And for that blessing, my return to God is to be obedient. To be confident that I can get more of this process if I just faithfully give myself to this simple program. That's what I try to do. It ain't complicated. It's not an intellectual exercise. You can be yourself. You can be dumb as a box of rocks and stay clean. Because that's what I was when I got here, dumb as a box of rocks. And if you sit a box of rocks in the corner, they ain't going to do shit. Just sit there. That's what I used to do. But this program, man, would change you without your permission. Keep coming back. You're going to be saying shit like Urkel used to say, "Did I do that?" Did I not smack the shit out of my balls? Because the program kick in, and the program will kick in. Program give you a conscience. I went to work, and if I worked for a boss and he told me to do something, I ain't swell up on him. I wouldn't did it. I might have cussed his ass out while I was walking down the hall. My sponsor taught me that. Say, you work for that man, he fire your ass, then where you at? Then you're really going to have something to curse about. It's all about being obedient, man. And that's included in Narcotic Anonymous, showing people, helping yourself, then helping others. Because a lot of times this program keeps you out of yourself, keeps you thinking about the newcomer, which is the most important. And everybody that comes here on a regular day, a brand new day, you're a newcomer. Because you got so much time and you riding so good and you got mumps, your pockets got the mumps. That's old school talk for having a big bankroll.
Yeah. Be honest.
Y'all better watch, there's a spook by the door back there. That's my main man. Hey, man, look, this is important. When you stay around here and you see people like this brother over here, man, who played with the program for many years. Let me tell you about Jody. Jody seen me. I'm riding around brand new Mercedes and all that. Jody said, man, break me off. So I reached in my pocket. I gave him $2. I said, I ain't going to give you no more than $2. Now you got to go out and earn the rest. He cussed me out. Oh, dirty nigga ran off my bands back in the day. But, hey, Jody, I want to thank you, man, for staying, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's about. He can be a beacon of light for somebody else, man. That's why it's important to stay here. That's how you help people, man. You ain't got to run your mouth all the time or be all that. Just show up, man, like sure. Sam said, man. Sure. Just represent, man. Yeah. Represent. And I used to tell the dudes, man, represent this thing like you keeping your pants up in the penitentiary because, you know, that's a no-no. That's death talk there. Yes, sir. That's the way you got to do your recovery. You got to put protection on your recovery. Because don't nobody owe you nothing because you don't drink and drug no more. You owe this to yourself. And if you don't go out and get it, you'll never have it. If you don't continue to come in this program and have the possibilities large, then you'll cut yourself short. You'll become what they call stagnant. And guess what they say about stagnation? Stagnant water stinks. So you got to keep it moving. No matter how much time you got to keep on helping these newcomers come in these fellowships and show them what to do. And don't blow no smoke. Tell them the truth. They might get mad at you and never speak to you again, but you don't told them the truth. Something they can hold and something that they can operate from. Telling them lies, that's why people keep on having multiple relapses, because people be lying to them. Hey, get your stutzed ass up in there and sit in the meeting. Go to the meeting. Get your job. You know what I'm saying? Get out the SRO. Get out the halfway house. Get out the shelter, young ass nigga. 19 years old in the shelter. Man, I'm going to keep coming back. But that's how you help people. You tell people the truth, man. You represent. You know what I'm saying? And make sure, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Make sure you can back up what you say. I'll keep coming back.